Welcome to episode 66 of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Beth Below. This month marks the four-year anniversary of the founding of the Introvert Entrepreneur. And it's hard to believe because time really does fly when you're having fun. And a big part of that fun has been connecting with you and with other introvert entrepreneurs around the world. You all are a group of amazing people and you're out there doing amazing work. And what's been really cool is seeing all of you do your work in a way that aligns with your introvert strengths and energy. You're all taking risks and you're stretching into a life that works best for you. Almost no one I know has done this better than Betsy and Warren Talbot, who are my guests today. Betsy is the introvert of the pair, and she's been married for 10 years to her extroverted soulmate. I caught up with them in their new home in Spain to talk about how they navigate the introvert-extrovert waters as partners in business and in life. Betsy and Warren, welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I am so excited to be talking with you.
Well, we're very excited to be here, Beth, and I am bringing my introvert energy to the game.
And I am bringing my extrovert energy.
We'll try to keep him reined in.
Yeah, exactly. I can tell you're already smiling, and you've made me smile, but what is making you both smile today?
What is making me smile today is that the workers next door at the house next to our little house in Spain have stopped using the jackhammer. They are now just clearing things out. There's not nearly as much noise, so I can write in peace. And that is making me smile ear to ear.
Awesome.
And I am thinking all about romance and the romance of Europe and romance of being together and of exploring what is now our 11th year of marriage and really excited about what that means and what it's going to bring for us going forward.
Warren is doing the fun work of planning our book tour, which is very romantic and very exciting.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And that book launches on April 23rd?
Yes,
that's correct.
Excellent. And when is your anniversary?
April 23rd.
Okay, then. There you go.
Yes, it's our 10th year anniversary. We are celebrating it with launching a book. I don't know what year paper is. I think that's number one, but we've decided to roll that forward. And so now we've decided that ebook is the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, it's a digital gift.
It's a digital gift.
Awesome. Congratulations on the 10-year anniversary. That is
Thank you.
And as we have established here, Betsy, you are an introvert. And Warren, you are clearly an extrovert. When did you, in this, 10-year adventure that you've had together, when did you discover this difference about yourselves and how has that impacted your relationship?
Well, we've always known that we were different, but I didn't have a word for it before. And then when I finally did have a word for it about 5 or 6 years ago, I said the word to Warren and he didn't get it.
Well, I immediately assumed that she meant shy and I just assumed that she was using it as some type of inappropriate label for herself. And it just didn't make any sense to me at all. But she said she was an introvert, so I believed her. I just didn't understand what that meant.
And so for a long time, he was trying to convince me that I wasn't shy. And I said, well, I'm not shy. I'm really not. I'm very comfortable, speaking and being out in public situations. I just don't want to be out there for very long. So
we were in Slovenia together and we were with some friends and the discussion came up of what it meant to be an introvert. And Betsy said, the phrase that I remember, just it is the most clarifying moment in our relationship, where she said, I don't get my energy from other people. That actually drains me. And it was like this crazy light bulb moment that changed our relationship.
Awesome. And you've probably had lots of light bulb moments happening because I know that you've been traveling the world together now for how many years?
3.5.
Yeah, since 2010. And, it's exciting. It's wonderful. It's fabulous. But as an introvert, you can imagine not having any time to yourself. Even if you're with the person that you love, it is definitely a challenge. And I'm so glad that we finally had this, sort of aha moment so that he wouldn't think me wanting to be alone meant that I wanted to be away from him, because those are actually two different things.
Exactly. And so how do you take care of your energetic needs, especially when you're traveling and encountering, all sorts of unpredictable situations, whether it's your living situation or just what you're doing day to day?
Well, one of the things we do is, we really manage our lifestyle. We make it what we want it to be. So we don't travel quickly. We typically rent apartments if we're traveling or stay somewhere long term, house sit, something like that. So I have a place. I have a routine somewhat, and I have space to myself. I also have headphones. Headphones are the introvert's friend.
Absolutely.
And when we're writing, I typically write indoors. And when Warren needs to work or write, whatever he does, he actually likes to go to a cafe, which I think is the ninth circle of hell.
Yeah.
But it feels like more you get like I don't feel like you lose as much energy drain when it's just the two of us. But if you add a third, a fourth, or a fifth person into the conversation or any type of interactions with others, that's when I really notice it in
you. Oh, that's absolutely true. I like being around you a lot. I really do.
Sure.
But at the times that I need to kind of re-energize or gear up for something, I need to be away from you too. I need to be completely by myself. And it's not a reflection on you, of course. It's, you know, recovering from or in anticipation of an event with a bunch of other people for a long period of time.
Yeah, that's usually when I see it the most is when we know we're going to go do something. I now know this is probably the place where I've changed the most is if we're going to go do something with other people, I know to give Betsy as much space as possible, at least as much time as we're going to be out there. So if we're going to be gone for 3 or 4 hours, I give her 3 or 4 hours before that alone. That's what's really been the most change for me is being able to know that you're going to need that.
And you know, the weird part about this is that it makes me feel sort of like a social, I don't know, idiot that I need this in order to be out in public. But the result of it is so good that I can't discount it. I mean, I really do so much better and interact so much better and am a better wife and partner to Warren. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though it feels weird, it works. So why not keep doing it?
Yeah. You're mastering being together, alone together, and together apart in many ways. Yeah.
Yeah. The last 3.5 years has been the two of us together. And so now, you know, obviously there are interactions in there and those are much better now because we understand what each other needs.
Well, that brings me to my next question, and that's around something that I share with you all, and that's a message about being clear on what you want and how to ask for it. And the more you know about yourself, as you two have demonstrated, the clearer you can be with one another. What advice do you have for people in personal relationships about how to speak up for yourself and your needs?
Well, I think too many times we spend so much time worrying about what the other person's reaction is going to be. And if you're an overthinker like me, you come up with all kinds of crazy things that could possibly happen. But if you just simply make it a non-dramatic, very practical statement and don't waste time thinking about it, it goes over much faster. If you say, I need a little bit of time to myself, you know, can I have a hug? Would you mind taking out the trash? I mean, any of those things, just quick and to the point and no drama, it means it's going to happen and you're not going to freak out so much about it.
And I think for me, it's knowing you have to ask yourself what you want. So it may not be that you want them to take out the trash. It may be that you want them to stop being a slob. You know, so figure out what it is you want and communicate that in a loving and caring way. But get that information and know what it is, because if they keep taking out the trash and you're still unhappy with them, whatever that is, you need to find out what that core element, get to it and have a communication and a conversation about it, because this is your partner. But you've got to know what you want first before you can ever even ask for it.
But, you know, this falls back into one of the lessons that we teach all the time, and it's about assuming the best intentions of your partner. And so what we've done is always assume that He's doing something right. He's doing something with a good heart and a good intention. So even if his words come out wrong or in a way that is, you know, insulting or irritating, I can't take it that way because it comes from a good source. And he's the same way with me. So I think when you have a rule like that in your relationship, especially if you're in business together like we are, it makes those kinds of situations much easier because you can say it. And even if you don't say it perfectly, you can get it out there.
Yeah, and it goes very nicely with what you preach as well, Beth. The idea of making sure that you assume those best intentions will make it much better when you're interacting together. And both of you have to do that. It's not always just one of you. irritating one.
Yeah, that simple thing can transform not just the personal relationships, but professional relationships. And I love that you brought up that aspect of not only are you partners in marriage, you're partners in business. How do you draw the line in some way? And if you do, how do you, or how do you navigate that?
Warren tries to draw the line and I won't let him, because I believe that partnership is completely partnership. We are partners in everything, which means that I need to have a little bit of a tougher skin in our personal life and he needs to be a little bit more gentle in our business life. And I don't want to have a line personally. For me, that doesn't work. So we have the same rules for business as we do for our relationship, and it seems to work. You know, we split duties, which makes it to where we don't have to sort of nag each other. We assume the best intentions. We have deadlines that we work toward. Nothing is left in the air. We're very clear about what we're working on. All those things seem to work both personally and professionally.
Yeah, but I think that there is an element where you have to make sure that when you're communicating about business or your personal life, I do draw the line a little bit stronger just because it's important for me, because I tend to give rather direct feedback. Can I use that?
Hence the assume the best intentions rule.
So I give direct feedback. And so I tend to do that. And I'm more direct in the business because I'm less passionate about it. I'm not as direct in the personal, at least I think.
So here's another question that just popped into my head because it's been on my mind lately. And that's our relationship. As you're talking about the personal and the professional being blurred, I also think there's something about technology that has really gotten blurred for everyone. And you, I don't know how long ago it was, it might have even been a year, you went on a pretty extensive hiking trip that took you completely off the grid, I think for how long was it?
We were gone for a month, five weeks.
Yeah, we were basically disconnected. We did a 500 kilometer walk in Turkey last November, and it was a tremendous opportunity. I felt completely revitalized myself coming back. And I was actually quite sad to have to get reconnected.
You really were. I think I was ready to get back in, but I also think I don't struggle as much with the need to be connected as you do. So maybe that was the difference. But you know, Beth, we don't have a cell phone. So, and we haven't. I know. We haven't had one since 2010. And people are always amazed to hear this because, you know, we do run a business. We are online. But we made the decision that we wanted to have our personal time be our personal time and live in the moment. And I understand it's not for everyone, but for us, it really works. Now, sometimes it is hard to drag ourselves away from the laptop, but I think we do a pretty good job of it. And setting those limits on yourself, I think, allows you to be more in the moment, which whether you're an introvert or an extrovert is a good thing because it means you're paying attention to the people around you.
Yep, absolutely. And Warren, you have done a lot of photography, which I would imagine really needs to have you be keeping in touch with your surroundings, you know, if you're going to be attentive to something that's going to be really a way to capture a moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important, but you have to be, like you said, you have to step away and just be in nature. And that's why that hike was so good. And we've decided that every year we're going to go on a 3 to 4 week hike every year, just completely disconnected. For that reason, for the reason of, you know, revitalizing ourselves individually, to allow myself creatively to explore a little bit away from everything and all the distractions, it's fantastic. And I feel like it completely changed my perspective, not just from a photographer, but also as a writer and as a husband. And there's so many good things about being away.
I think it was great also because the time before, you know, we had to do a lot of work up front in order to be gone for 4 weeks because, you know, we're still running a business. But the structure that we have in our life allowed that to happen. And it made me see how easily we could step away from our business if we did a little bit of work because we haven't tied ourselves to be 24/7 available like that. And I was really happy to discover that.
Yeah.
Would you mind saying a little bit more about that? Because I took like a week long sabbatical from being online. And I remember when I shared that, a few people said, oh, that would be really nice, but there's no way I could do that. I have to be plugged in because of my work. And some of them might have been entrepreneurs. Some of them might have been in, you know, traditional work environments where it might have literally been impossible. But I think we set up this block. We make this assumption, oh, there's no way I could do that. What are maybe, you know, a couple of things that you might suggest that could set somebody up for success and enable them to take that time off the grid?
Well, first of all, it's setting expectations. I think when your boss and your customers know that you're answering emails at night before you go to bed and you're checking it at 5:30 in the morning when you get up, and they're used to that kind of access to you, even if your posted hours are something different, you set the expectation that you'll be available and you are the one who made that mistake. Your customer can wait a couple of hours. Your customer can wait for you to answer during business hours. I mean, even though we're a 24/7 world, we all understand that people need time off. And I don't think most people are that unreasonable about that. So I think a lot of it is setting your own expectations.
I think it's also committing to the idea that you want to do it. So that's the first step. Going back to what you said earlier, Beth, about knowing what you want and going for it and asking for it. This is exactly the same thing. You want time off. You want to be separated. So then nothing should stand in your way. The perfect example is we wanted to go and take a trip around the world. We made sacrifices to make that happen. It's not the ideal scenario for our friends and family, but this is important to us. If you want to go and take a week off or 2 weeks off and go and hike or just go to meditate or do whatever you want away from the computer, then commit to it, know that it's important, and then take the steps and make the choice that some things won't get done. Maybe you'll have to step away from some things that you think were important. But if this is the number one important thing, then everything else has to be second.
And Warren makes a really good point about some things will get left undone. I think there are so many times that we're doing things we don't need to do. In fact, I think the most important thing every entrepreneur or business person can do is create a stop to-do list. What are all the things you're doing that you don't really need to be doing?
They're not adding to the bottom line. They're not adding to your happiness. They're not helping your business grow. You know, these are the things that you should be thinking about every day. You know, and define them so that you can actually take action to remove them. As you remove those things, guess what? You're going to create time in your day to go after the things that you want more, to create more revenue. And guess what? That sabbatical you were thinking about is there.
You know, this reminds me of that movie Office Space and those, what are they, TSP reports or TPS reports?
TPS
Nobody could understand why they needed them, but they just kept doing them. That's what I think of when I think of a stop to-do list.
Yes. Well, and it's interesting. I think a lot of entrepreneurs think that once they get out of the corporate environment, it's like, oh, good, no more meaningless memos or meetings or reports. But yet, I think sometimes we recreate those things for ourselves anyway, whether it's, you know, as a stalling mechanism, as a procrastination piece, or because we think we should be doing whatever it is. And so I think that stop doing list is super valuable advice. So your fourth book is called Married with Luggage, which is the same name as your business, but Married with Luggage, I love it. What We Learned About Love by Traveling the World. And as we mentioned in the beginning, that comes out on April 23rd. In the process of writing this book, I am guessing, especially based on our conversation, you have done a lot of both personal reflection and reflection as a couple. Where in this process did you notice the most growth or change in terms of your relationship from where you started back in 2010 to where you are today in 2014?
Well, first of all, I didn't know I was signing up for reflection when we left. It was actually not something I was anticipating. I expected to meditate on the world around me and that kind of stuff. I didn't really expect, and I know that sounds naive looking back, but I really didn't expect this kind of growth.
I think that for me, I feel closer to Betsy than I've ever felt. And I had not hoped for that. I had never expected to see that. But we are now in tune, much to the point where I always joke with her that we're kind of broken for other humans now. We know each other so well. We're so in tune that I feel completely out of sync if I'm away from her for an hour. It just feels disconnected. I don't like it. I don't like having those experiences and not having her there. I feel more romantic. I feel more alive. I feel more sexual. I feel more everything now than I did 4 years ago. You know, we're 4 years older, obviously, but I feel 20 years younger. Like our relationship has just been in this wonderful vacuum where we have done nothing but get to know each other through the course of experiences, new cultures, new languages, new everything has changed our dynamic such that we are now made for each other far more than we were when we left.
I think for me, it's been learning to be interdependent. And that is not something I was good at before. You know, it goes back to being vulnerable. I know that you're a big fan of Brené Brown. And it goes back to allowing yourself to show your weaknesses and to depend on other people and to say that you need those things. And I wasn't good at that before. And I thought I was, you know, strong, macho, independent, when I really wasn't. And I feel much stronger now than I did before, even though I'm technically not doing as many things on my own as I did. So it's been a strange transition for me, but a beautiful one. And I'm very, very grateful for it, even though I really didn't expect it at all.
Those are sometimes the biggest gifts, the ones we weren't anticipating. And what you're highlighting here is that, as Brené Brown says, vulnerability is strength, and being vulnerable is often knowing what you can't do on your own or what you don't want to do on your own. And so this experience of connecting with each other on this deeper level and seeing how you're interdependent is really powerful. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that.
Well, it also helps you to appreciate the strengths of your mate because, you know, like right now, you know, the book's out. Warren is the one who has done the bulk of planning for this, the book tour, where we're going to these 10 European cities. He coordinated with all the agencies, the hotel. I mean, he did all of that. And him being the extrovert in our relationship, that made it really easy for him to do that, or easier for him to do that.
Yeah. And then for you, the ability to kind of hole up and do the work that needed to get done to get the book out is so important, because I can't resist a hello. I can't. Anybody says hello to me, and that is the beginning of a wonderful hour-long conversation. And it's just, you know, I do not have any, I am weak. week with that, and especially and if you follow that up with Buenos Dias, now that's it. I'm it's done.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, I want to wrap up our conversation with a question that I ask all of my guests, and it almost seems like a silly question for you too, because you get to be, you know, having these adventures all the time. But what I ask is, if you're granted a 3-week vacation on Introvert Island, and you can decide if you want to take that vacation together or alone, and you could only take 3 books with you, what would you take with you and why?
Well, for me, the first book I would take is Do the Work by Stephen Pressfield. It's a book about resistance, and it's what I refer to very, very frequently because resistance comes up a lot for me in doing what I want to do, especially writing. That would keep me on track. I would also bring a blank journal to make sure that I did write. And then the last thing I would do, because I am slightly paranoid, just slightly paranoid, I would bring a book on plants and what was edible and what was poisonous in case I got stranded and could never leave the island.
Okay, excellent. Excellent.
Which is so perfect because my first book would be Into the Wild, which is the book where the guy had the book
he
and
dies.
It didn't work out for him. Exactly. So, oh, the irony.
He actually didn't talk about this before we came on the show. That's hilarious.
That's perfect.
And my second would be Endurance, the Shackleton's Incredible Voyage. It reminds me of how bad it can be and how much we can persevere through amazing obstacles when they're put in front of us if we just keep looking forward to what's ahead of us. And the last one would be 100 Years of Solitude. And I would do that because I would want to read it to Betsy every single day because
Aww.
It's her favorite book, and it would be nice
Sweet.
To have it there for her.
Another little message that I would like to share with listeners is that just because someone is at a distance, or if you decide you're going to make some sort of change that you think, oh, I can't possibly do that, I'm going to not be, you know, around the people I love or get to make new friends or be connected, that's not true. There's so much possibility. And so I feel like I've gotten to know you both over the years and anticipate being able to see you in person again sometime in the near future. And I've just appreciated how much you have impacted my life in terms of opening up that possibility that one doesn't have to be homebound all the time in order to have deep relationships and wonderful connections with people.
Well, thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Beth.
And I would like to return the compliment by letting you know that if it wasn't for you first telling me about introverts, because I knew of you before I met you in person, if I had not known that language, we would have never had the breakthroughs that we've had in both our business and our personal life. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. That's awesome. So Married with Luggage, What We Learned About Love by Traveling the World comes out on April 23rd. And how can people connect with you, learn more about the book, and, you know, where in the world are Betsy and Warren?
Everything is available at our website at marriedwithluggage.com. We have information on all our books, our podcasts, everything about where we are at the time and what we're doing and what we're doing in the future, including our upcoming book tour, which is an international love affair where we'll be going to 10 different cities in Europe and telling a love story from each. And so come on over and sign up for the newsletter and get an update from us each and every week.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much to both of you. It's been a great joy to chat with you, and I wish you well in all of your adventures.
Thank you so much, Beth.
Every time I interact with Betsy and Warren, I leave inspired, and I usually feel like anything is possible. I hope you felt the same way after listening to them. If you want to learn more about how they're carving out the life of their dreams, I highly recommend following them at marriedwithluggage.com. And if this conversation left you wanting to know more about introverts and extroverts in love, I have 2 resources to recommend to you. The first is from Marty Olson Laney, who wrote The Introvert Advantage. She co-wrote, along with her extroverted husband, Michael, the book The Introvert and Extrovert in Love, Making It Work When Opposites Attract. You'll also want to stay tuned for Sophia Dembling's next book, Introverts in Love. In it, she explores introverts in relationship, whether it's 2 innies or a mixed partnership. That book isn't published yet, but I suspect it will be sometime in the summer or early fall of 2014. You can also check out Sophia's most recent book called The Introvert's Way, which was published in December of 2013. So again, stay tuned for her book, Introverts in Love, coming out sometime in this coming year. thank you very much for joining me today. If you want to learn more about me and The Introvert Entrepreneur, I invite you to visit my website at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. On that site, you'll find links to other podcasts, my blog, social media communities, my book, and coaching services. And I would love to have you join me anywhere you feel like showing up. In closing, I want to share a very sweet sentiment from the wise and wonderful Piglet, as written by A.A. Milne. Piglet sidled up to Pooh from behind. "Pooh," he whispered. "Yes, Piglet?" "Nothing," said Piglet, taking Pooh's paw. "I just wanted to be sure of you." Until we meet again, remember that success, in life and in relationships, is an inside job.